I'm Andrew Stelzer, and this is Making Contact.
Every family in the United States has a story. My grandmother was a British war bride of Mediterranean descent who crossed the Atlantic when she was just 19 years old to marry the love of her life, an American soldier of Jewish-Hungarian descent. But when it comes to her past, that's pretty much all I know. The truth is, I have very little connection to my grandparents' history, culture, traditions. How did they influence who I am? I suspect I'm like many young people in the United States, who don't know much about where they came from, but are curious to find out more.
That's producer Erica Hellerstein. In searching for her family's story, she discovered the story of another young woman who looks into Mexican folk medicine, or curanderismo, to learn more about her own past. On this edition of Making Contact, we'll meet a group of curanderas and learn why the practice is becoming increasingly common throughout California and across the U.S.
Lauren Villa is 24 years old and lives today in Northern California. But she was raised in a small mountain town in Arizona called Pine Top, and her father grew up in the Mexican countryside.
My father was born in the mountains of a small town called Kikayan. I always thought of it, when I heard stories from my father, as this sort of tropical, very green, luscious area in the heart of Mexico.
But his life was very different from Lauren's.
My father grew up on a farm. He never went to school. He immigrated to the United States when he was in his late 20s, early 30s. I think growing up, what always grounded me was talking to my dad about my grandmother. She's sort of the centerpiece, I think, of my life in a weird way. Like, she's my middle name and has been this guiding force for me, either consciously or subconsciously. Some of the stories my father told me about my grandmother are very fantastical and very magical. One of them was she brought all the kids their laundry into the river, and she was there washing it on the rocks and had set my father beside the river while she was cleaning the clothes, and my father was a baby. And a snake, apparently, this giant snake had come near my father and unlatched its jaws, about to swallow my father whole, and my grandmother looked back and she snatched him up and saved his life, and, you know, they ran out of the water. And my father hates snakes to this day. He loves telling that story. I just wish I could have had a conversation with her and asked her so many questions.
Lauren does not look like her dad, who has jet black hair, high cheekbones, and dark skin. Her celebrity double is more Jennifer Garner than Selma Hayek.
I think I had a lot of trouble growing up as a Mexican-American in the United States. I do not look like your quote-unquote Mexican. I have red hair and freckles and pretty pale skin, and I don't speak Spanish. So in everyone's, by everyone's regard, I'm not necessarily Mexican. My younger sister, she has beautiful dark skin and long black shiny hair. And when people see her, they immediately think she's Spanish or Mexican. And I've always envied her for that, because if anything, she can hold on to that.
Lauren wants to feel more connected to her dad's Mexican heritage, but she's also the first to admit that she doesn't want to accept some of his values, which can be conservative, traditional, and patriarchal.
My father and I have always had a strained relationship. It was difficult growing up with someone who came right from Mexico with ingrained Mexican values that were so different than the way my mom wanted to raise us and the things she wanted to teach us. My father and I just never really saw eye to eye. In his eyes, I think I was a bit of a troublemaker, just because I questioned a lot of the things he said or believed, and somewhat misogynistic things, and being a self-proclaimed feminist and liberal, I think it was always difficult to watch the way he treated, you know, my sister and I, just being very strict and not really understanding where we were coming from. But it was this weird thing, because I was also really, really upset by the way people treated my father. And he was really discriminated against.
So Lauren does disagree with some of her dad's opinions. But at the same time, she really wants to know more about his family and her grandmother. It's almost like she's caught in a contradiction, a struggle between two identities and two selves.
Growing up and hearing stories about my grandmother, it was something for me to aspire to be. I always wanted to have that spirit of her within me, and my father used to tell me that I did.
But there was a reason Lauren felt so close to her grandmother.
I recently found out that my grandmother was a curandera, and that came as a huge surprise to me.
Curanderismo is an approach to physical and emotional health that has been practiced in the Americas for hundreds of years. Curanderos, or healers, use plants, limpias, which are spiritual cleansings, massage, and ceremony. Each healer has his or her own set of practices, which they've often gotten from mentors, family members, or other healers. When Lauren found out that her grandmother used to be one of these ancient and traditional healers, she was blown away.
EJ Sistema, Ecatepec, Mexico.
I was always trying to piece together the stories that my father had said and what she practiced. And when I was little, I think I came up with the idea that she was a witch doctor, but that never felt right. And later, my mother would call her a midwife. But that wasn't really right either, because her scope wasn't limited to delivering babies. She was a healer.
Curanderismo may have started in Mexico, but it's actually all around us here, in California, Texas, all over the United States. In San Francisco's historically Latino Mission District, there are actually lots of small stores that cater to curanderismo and other folk healing traditions. I'm standing on the corner of 24th and South Van Ness on a nice sunny Sunday afternoon in the Mission District of San Francisco. 24th is a really vibrant street. On weekends, a lot of people come here to play music, and there's graffiti, bright graffiti, painted on a lot of the walls along 24th and sort of the surrounding areas. And I stopped in front of a store called Mystical Collections. It caught my eye because I saw that they have Agua Florida, which is used by some curanderas. So I decided to pop in and see what the owners of that store had to say.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for coming here. First of all, it's a blessing to have you here. My name is Patricia Torres, and the name of the store is Mystical Collections. And Mystical Collections, like the name will say it, it's a combination of different cultures and spirituality.
All around me, I see candles, crystals, incense, and teas. I asked Patricia if she sees a lot of customers interested in healing.
We call them curanderas in Spanish. The curanderas, they work with herbs, they work with candles, they work with energy. And yes, we do have a lot of them here. They look for candles, they look for agua florida, they look for charcoal, they look for sage that is good to clean the environment, and you name it.
So, like the agua florida,
What does that do? What is...
Yeah. The agua florida, it's a combination of water and some type of a flower essence that they do, they put in, they blessed. And the curanderas use it to clean themselves from the bad energy.
And then these are perfumes?
There is called, yes, we have perfumes with different meanings. We have, for instance, we call this miel de amor, which is a little perfume that it helps to bring the man, to bring the other one that they're looking for.
Like a love potion.
Like a love potion.
Then Patricia performed a sound healing on me. She picked up a copper bowl and told me to close my eyes.
After that, Patricia sent me on my way. I hung a left and kept walking down 24th, and I saw at least two other stores selling similar supplies. The Mission District is a center for curanderismo, but the tradition actually goes way beyond the city's borders. Atava Swiezecki Garcia is a curandera who runs a small company in Oakland, California. But like Lauren, she comes from a bicultural background.
I was born in Detroit, Michigan. And my mother's, both of my parents were from the Detroit area. My mom from a Mexican, Native American, and Hungarian family. My father from Polish family. My mother, who's, you know, darker skinned, often was, you know, we were in some very small Midwestern town, so she stood out and sometimes was the object of prejudice and, you know, discrimination. But, you know, I have light skin, so I pass, so. I usually actually got more teased for being Polish.
Curanderismo appeals to people from all different cultures. It draws inspiration from all sorts of folk medicine traditions, including Native American, European, and African. Atava is multicultural, and so is her healing practice. Inside her studio, an altar displays pictures of a handful of healers she studied with, from all different cultural backgrounds. She tells me a little about the commonalities in folk medicine around the world, like the Polish spirit cleansing ceremony, which is a lot like the Mexican limpia ceremony. Both use similar objects, in Mexico an egg and Poland a potato, to cleanse the soul and clear off negative energy. These similarities seem to reveal something, like a universal connection between humans and the elements. I talked to Sandra Pacheco a little bit about this. She's a faculty member at the California Institute of Integral Studies, where she researches Chicana Latina indigenous spirituality.
The history is not totally clear, so there are different accounts of how curanderismo emerged. In terms of the plant-based knowledge, that actually existed prior to colonial times in Mexico. So there's always been a strong indigenous healing component that was very steeped in plant medicine. Curanderismo, the way we understand it predominantly, is part of the influence of Catholicism during colonial times. So you'll find that many curanderas and curanderos actually bring prayer and faith into the practice. Some feel that it was a response to colonialism, that it was an opportunity to deal with trauma in a different way that was both familiar to local communities in terms of plant and ceremony and ritual. But because some indigenous communities in Mesoamerica at that time were also polytheistic faith traditions, there was the incorporation of Catholicism into it as well.
In some ways, Sandra's sort of studying herself. She's a scholar, but she's also developing her skills in curanderismo.
My grandmother was a healer, and she had these practices, but she was seen as someone who was performing old wives' tales or engaging in little folk belief systems. It wasn't strongly validated.
In the States, too, that prejudice has crossed the border. When Sandra told her family that she wanted to study curanderismo, they did not take her seriously. Someone even bought her a broomstick. Bringing up those old stereotypes of curanderas as witches.
Part of the immigrant experience, not solely, but does include a level of assimilation and buying into a dominant paradigm. And that dominant paradigm is allopathic medicine. So consequently, there's a pressure that comes from assimilation to then reject your own culture. And typically that is something that ends up being rejected, not necessarily consciously or in a malicious way, but part of simply the day-to-day survival and blending in as best you can.
The opposite of what Sandra's saying actually happened to Lauren. When she found out about her grandmother, she was eager to learn more about her culture by studying this ancient tradition. A lot of my friends, myself included, have expressed similar desires to connect with their history and culture. It seems to me that Lauren's journey sort of represents a broader generational yearning. We want to know about the things that make us different, the things that set us apart from the crowd.
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. Because of generous support from listeners like you, this show is distributed for free to radio stations in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and South Africa. To find out how to donate, download shows, or get our podcasts, go to radioproject.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. We now return to Embracing the Elements by producer Erica Hellerstein.
Atava told me that curanderismo is practiced throughout the Bay Area, and the movement is growing.
There's just a lot of people coming together. It was just like we all have the same calling and we're all meeting each other, and then together the energy grows stronger.
I asked Sandra Pacheco why that might be and why it's mainly women here that are drawn to curanderismo.
It is interesting that in the Bay Area it is pretty much dominated by women right now in terms of a resurgence of the practice. And I think it's twofold. There's a strong belief that the feminine energy is returning, more from a cosmological perspective. And there's still just the social political reality that is considered woman's work. So it's a gendered practice. So from that perspective in the Bay Area, I think it has a little bit of both going on. It is a gendered practice, and if you subscribe to some of the more philosophical or spiritual belief system, that there's something about women's energy coming into force right now.
Atava told me about another group of women practicing curanderismo in Northern California. The Soul Collective is in Sacramento. Once a month, they organize curanderismo meetings, like this garden series in March. There's about 15 people in class. They sit in foldable chairs behind the Soul Collective speakers, who give PowerPoint presentations about how to make a curandera garden. About halfway through, they give participants nopales, or prickly green cactuses, which they plant in dirt-filled pots. At the end of the class, they all take a picture with the nopales.
You guys leave, let's all stand in the corner and take a picture with our nopales. Oh, wait, don't need the picture real quick.
I meet a woman named Anna at the series. She's a psychotherapist, and she's not from any native healing tradition. She actually started studying curanderismo as part of her dissertation topic, which was on the women's spirituality.
And more, it just began sort of creeping into my life. And I always joke about there's always this tension with, you know, when you have researchers coming into communities that you're going to take the data and run. And I feel like I'm the researcher that you couldn't get rid of when it was all over. It's like my dissertation was done and I'll probably hang around with these people forever.
She says that curanderismo can sometimes offer patients comfort that psychotherapy can't, that in some ways, it's its own form of therapy.
I've watched where someone will be upset and a curandera will go over and just like wrap the person up in a bear hug and let them cry on her shoulder. And, you know, in my work, somebody can be crying their heart out on my couch and I'm supposed to sit in my chair and watch them from across the room with a certain level of detachment that's really kind of pathological. And, you know, the Board of Behavioral Sciences does not want us to go and hug our clients and be that personal. But gosh, it's like as a human being, it's really perverse to sit there and watch somebody crying and not even be able to go over and put your arm around them.
Curanderismo really offers a very complete system. I mean, and there's so much, I'm still learning all the ways, but you know, just the ceremonies that I've learned about, like the limpia and the temazcal and the soul retrieval, or you know, working with the herbs, those all, yeah, they're taking care of the spirit and the body, you know, and the mind. And it's just, it was never separated out. You know, you were seen as a whole being.
Months after meeting Atava, Lauren stops by her office for a limpia, which is a traditional spiritual cleansing. It's her first time getting one. I ask her if she's thought about it at all. What's Atava going to do?
I have no idea. I don't really know what to expect, but I'm excited.
We walk up the stairs to Atava's office. Inside, she set up a small altar full of symbolic objects. An egg, a bundle of herbs or hierbas, and a small clay pot used to burn copal, a tree resin with a smoky, earthy smell. She starts by lighting a match and then sets the copal in the clay pot. Then she grabs a bundle of herbs.
They literally make a little broom, just like if you were a kitchen floor. Feels good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like amazingly good.
Yeah.
They also are bringing energy, like good energy, to you, like through the, if you breathe in, you can smell that. So take a deep breath and just imagine all of that medicine, all that beautiful aroma of the plant going into your body.
Then Atava took an egg and rubbed it all over Lauren's head.
Just rub it on the head or in the, everywhere in the body. It's, the raw eggs are amazingly strong. And I found that the best eggs are eggs from happy chickens. So I
she takes out a rattle and brings it over to Lauren's belly.
Then she takes some deep breaths into your stomach. Belly, deep belly breaths. And then with your breath, your intention, to move the energy in that area.
Finally, she spritzes Lauren with some floral water.
This is rose. That nice smell. Too bad we can't get smell on the air.
Then she pats Lauren down.
I'm trying to open up your lungs. I'm going to do one last little sweep. So take these to your heart. Again, take some deep breaths. Feeling that healing energy that's surrounding you, embracing you, that energy from the Mother Earth, from the plants. Allowing it to permeate your being. Allowing yourself to feel held, feel nurtured, supported. Okay.
Good.
Good.
Wow.
After the limpia, Lauren and I talk a little bit in the car. She seems much happier and lighter. I ask if this experience has changed her at all. Has it changed her attitudes towards herself, her family, or her grandmother?
I've been thinking about my grandmother in a much more peaceful way. I almost felt some tension because I was so mad that I didn't get to learn what she did. I was like, who were you? Like, what was really going on? And I feel like I'm coming to some kind of understanding of really, I don't know, like who she actually was, and I feel so much more at peace with her memory because of that.
By studying curanderismo and listening to her dad's stories, Lauren's kind of making her way back to her heritage, but in a way that makes sense for her, without the conservative, traditional values.
My father also is oddly relieved to hear that people have brought this into the United States. Possibly in his eyes, it died when my grandmother died. And I think it's given him this odd sense of hope.
One afternoon, Lauren decides to give her dad a call.
Hello, Mia.
Hey, Dad.
Hi.
What are you doing?
Lauren and her dad chit-chat for a second. She asks how he's doing, and he tells her about his day.
Oh, okay. How did it go?
Good.
So, hey, Dad, I'm going to ask you some questions, and then I'm going to tell my friend about what we say. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So, first, Dad, memories of Grandma. What are, like, your best memories of her?
Grandma and Grandpa, they used to be like medicine people. They used to, my mom, Grandma, she used to be like...
The phone like connection wasn't great, so it's kind of hard to understand what Lauren's dad is saying. But they go back and forth. Lauren asks him to give her some more details about what her grandmother did. He says she was a medicine person. She helped everybody in the community, the kids and the adults. But when Lauren asks him if she was a curandera, he's a little hesitant.
So do you consider her like a curandera?
No, curandera. Well, curandera, she used to...
Finally, he tells her she was.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's curandera. Yeah, they call my mom curandera. They call curandera.
But she didn't do anything weird.
Nothing, no weird stuff. Just everything with the earth.
Okay. No, like, witchcraft.
What?
No witchcraft.
No. That's something else.
The conversation ends when Lauren asks her dad what she has in common with her grandmother.
Okay. So, Dad, what do I have in common with grandmom, with your mom?
He pauses for a second to think about it, and then here's what he says.
You're very...
You care about people. You remind me a lot of my mom or grandma because you care about people. You're smart, intelligent, and tough.
Grandma,
nothing was impossible for her.
Grandma, she used to be similar like you.
Kind of like you.
That was producer Erica Hellerstein. And that's it for this edition of Making Contact. This show is part of a collaboration with the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. Special thanks to Claire Schoen. Check out our website, radioproject.org, to get a podcast, download past shows, or make a difference by supporting our work. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. The Making Contact team includes Lisa Rudman, George Lavender, Jasmine Lopez, Laura Flynn, Quan Booth, and Barbara Barnett. I'm Andrew Stelzer. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.